दाना जगृहे राजा भार्या पुत्रा आनंद था श्रृंगतम सर्वभूतानां King Dushmanta, who never discharged semen without a result, placed his semen at night in the womb of his queen, Shakuntala, and in the morning he returned to his palace. Thereafter, in due course of time, Shakuntala gave birth to a son. In the forest, Kanva Muni performed all the ritualistic ceremonies concerning the newborn child. Later, the boy became so powerful that he would capture a lion and play with it. Shakuntala, the best of beautiful women, along with her son, whose strength was insurmountable, and who was a partial expansion of the Supreme Godhead, approached her husband, Dushmanta. When the king refused to accept his wife and son, who were both irreproachable, an embodied voice spoke from the sky as an omen and was heard by everyone present. Purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Dushmanta knew that Shakuntala and the boy were his own wife and son, but because they came from outside and were unknown to the citizens, he at first declined to accept them. Shakuntala, however, was so chaste that an omen from the sky declared the truth so that others could hear. When everyone heard from the omen that Shakuntala and her child were truly the king's wife and son, the king gladly accepted them. In this very wonderful chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading about the great descendants of Maharaj Puru, the son of Yayati, another one of the sons of Maharaj Yayati was named Yadu. Through this narration, Srila Shukadeva Goswami is leading to the events that took place upon the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original transcendental form, Sri Krishna. This is a very extraordinary story that is being told. It is described that Maharaj Dushmanta, he was a great king, and one day he went into the forest performing an excursion there, and he happened to see at the ashram of Kanva Muni the most beautiful female form that he had ever witnessed. She was so beautiful that her beauty literally illuminated the entire forest with light. And the fragrance of her body was so aromatic, he immediately became infatuated by this beautiful form and desired to marry her. This was not an ordinary person that he saw. It was the goddess Shakuntala. Shakuntala was the daughter of Vishwamitra Muni and Menaka. You all know the story of the powers of Vishwamitra Muni. He was born of a Kshatriya, but by the influence of Vashishtha Muni, he decided that actually Brahmins are more powerful than Kshatriyas. So he decided he wanted to be a Kshatriya. Over a Kamadenu Kal, Vishwamitra Muni and Vashishtha Muni had a competition. Vishwamitra Muni was such a great king, he had such great armies, and he sent them all against Vashishtha Muni, but by Vashishtha Muni's brahminical powers, he totally defeated and put Vishwamitra to shame. So he decided, I want to be Brahman. So he performed many, many long years of severe tapasya until finally Vashishtha Muni and the Brahman community accepted, yes, you are Brahman. Srila Prabhupada explains Vishwamitra Muni was so powerful that when he wanted to have a child, at one time he just arranged the child to grow like fruit on a tree. Hare Krishna. He could perform so much austerities. Even Indra was trembling in fear that if he's performing all these austerities, he must be doing it because he wants to enjoy my property. This is the nature of material ego. When we are proud of what we have and attached to it, we think everyone must want it. Everyone wants my position, my post. Everyone wants the facilities that I am enjoying and using in my service. In this way, Indra, being afraid and defensive, he wanted to destroy Vishwamitra Muni just to protect his own position. So he sent Menaka. And Indra was successful. Menaka was a beautiful, beautiful heavenly lady. And Srila Prabhupada explains many times this story, how just by the tinkling of her ankle bells and the sound of her bangles and her sweet-sounding voice, Vishwamitra Muni, who 60,000 years of meditation he could do without eating, without sleeping, severe tapasya in the Himalayas in the winter, in the deserts in the summer, he could tolerate so much difficulty, but he could not tolerate the tinkle of these ankle bells. And he came out of his meditation, became very much attracted to Menaka. And he gave up all of his austerities and became something like her husband. And then a child was born. And that child is Shakuntala. However, Vishwamitra Muni was frustrated by this type of life. So he left. And Menaka, she performed her work of making Vishwamitra Muni fall to her prowess. She did her work for Indra. So she also decided to leave. So this newborn little baby was just laying in the forest alone. The baby did not know who her mother or father was. They were just abandoned. Meanwhile, Kanva Muni took care of this child and told her that you are actually the daughter of the great sage Vishwamitra and the goddess, the very beautiful Apsara Menaka. So you can imagine having a birth of this particular origin, what kind of a person Shakuntala must have been. Her beauty, her charm, her good qualities were extraordinary. Dushmanta immediately asked her, please, we should get married. And she had no objection because she was very much charmed by the prowess and by the good nature of Maharaj Dushmanta. So when she did not make any objection, immediately Maharaj Dushmanta chanted some mantras. Alone in the forest, but just by chanting those mantras, they were officially, legally married. It is called Gandharva marriage, Srila Prabhupada explains. So after they got married, he decided to beget a child within her womb. And after doing that, he returned to his palace and his kingdom. A child was born. This child was known as Maharaj Bharat. There are several Maharaj Bharats in Vedic literature. The one we are most familiar with is the son of Rishabdev, who was the eldest of the 100 sons of the Supreme Lord. He is the one that gave up everything and became attached to a deer, and then became Jad Bharat. But this is a different Bharat. He is the son of Dushmanta. He also became the king of the world. And it is described in this particular chapter that this Maharaj Bharat was actually a divine representation of a partial expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. He's very powerful. So Shakuntala gave birth to this boy, and when he was just a little baby, he would play with lions. Just catch them and play with them like toys. Or just like little children play with cats, he would play with lions. Not an ordinary child with this family background. So Kuntala went to the kingdom and requested Maharaj Dushmanta to take care of them. But wanting to be exemplary for the citizens, he did not want to confuse them, because one who is in a leadership position must be very exemplary to those who are following them. This is a very important principle. Yadyarachirati sreshtas tathar evetarochana sayat pramanam kurute lokasthanam bharatite. What great men do, common people will naturally follow. Whatever leaders do, their exemplary acts set the standard by which other people will naturally pursue. If there is suspicion in the leader, there is very little chance that there will be peace within society. This is one of the great problems within the political world of the world today. Generally, in democracy, people do not vote for someone because they trust them. Generally, in practically every country of the world, people vote for someone because they don't distrust them as much as the person they're running against. Who may do the worst damage, we will vote for the other. Because people's private lives are very much unethical, and people's policies are selfishly motivated. Generally, the greatest problem is people are more attached to their position than their service. Everyone, according to the Varnashram system, everyone is a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Daivi Varnashram. And whatever service we perform, it is only for the purpose of the service. And we take a position only for the purpose of service. We are not attached to anything but the service. If a person has this quality and they're actually and genuinely serving, and they're above suspicion, then naturally the whole kingdom wants to follow them. Not only follow what they say, but follow the mode of life that they are keeping. Of course, in every type of society, in spiritual society, this is also the principle. Because Srila Prabhupada was such a perfect example in what he spoke, what he said, there was no hypocrisy, there was no secret hidden things to learn about him. Therefore, people had complete trust. Anyone who was sincere, we can follow him, we could have faith. And that trust in the leader not only creates a proper understanding of how we should live, but it creates unity amongst people. Faith in leadership is very, very powerful to put the whole society in the right direction. So Maharaj Dushmanta, he just went to the forest for an excursion, and all of a sudden he's living in his palace, in his kingdom, and this lady comes with a child and says, "This is your child, take care of us." So the king did not want to confuse the citizens, because generally whatever the king does becomes very, very popular public knowledge. If the king was married, then people should know. If the king had a child born, naturally people would know. Was this something illicit? Is it true? It would have been confusing to the citizens. Therefore, for the sake of the world, Maharaj Dushmanta refused that it was true. He refused Shukuntala and the child, Bharat. However, because Shakuntala was so chaste and faithful, she had the power of providence and ultimately the Supreme Lord to protect her, and also the king. So to be heard by the citizens and everyone, a voice came from the sky. Not an ordinary voice, a sky voice. And this voice very thunderously proclaimed, "O Maharaj Dushmanta, a son actually belongs to his father, whereas the mother is only a container, like the skin of a bellows. According to Vedic injunctions, the father is born as the son. Therefore, maintain your own son and do not insult Shakuntala. O King Dushmanta, he who discharges semen is the actual father, and his son saves him from the custody of Yamaraj. You are the actual procreator of this child. Indeed, Shakuntala is speaking the truth." When Maharaj Dushmanta heard this, he became very happy, because actually he wanted to be with his wife and wanted to take care of the son. But because of this because of this omen that came from the sky, therefore everyone was convinced that everything was proper. And thus Maharaj Dushmanta was protected. So then, Hare Krishna. I'd like to speak a little about what came of this transcendental relationship. That Maharaj Bharat had three wives. However, none of them looked like Maharaj Bharat. So the wives were thinking that he may think that we had an affair with somebody else, because our sons do not look like him. So they killed their sons. Hare Krishna. This is the nature of material fear. Selfish motivations. We can do so many cruel things to others. But there was a son who was born of Brihaspati. That's another extraordinary story. And his name was Bharadvaj. And he was being taken care of by the Maruts. So the Maruts gave Bharadvaj to King Bharat to be his son. And he got married, and he had some children. And just the descendants of those children gave birth to one very, very great king, who is described in the next chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. I would like, for my own purification, and as a humble service to all of you, describe briefly about this great king who was the descendant of Dushmanta and Shakuntala. His name was Rantidev. Rantidev was the king of the world, but yet he was so humble and so purely devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he never endeavored for anything material for his own well-being. He was so detached and immersed in serving the citizens that whatever came for him and his family by the will of Providence, he would accept it. If nothing came, he would be completely satisfied just performing his service to the citizens without any facilities for his own personal life. And because of this simplicity in which he lived, Maharaj Rantidev and his whole family, sometimes they didn't even have any food to eat. Can you imagine a king living by these principles? So selflessly? Can you imagine how much faith people would have in a leader like this? Today, the leaders of all the world, people are always wondering, what is he taking on the side? What is he getting out of it? But Rantidev, he wouldn't even take food unless it was given to him in charity. If no one gave it to him in charity, he would not eat, nor would his family, because his family shared his same spirit. So Maharaj Rantidev, here in his family, it is explained, sometimes they trembled due to hunger, and he was the king of the world. However, all the citizens had total faith in his integrity. One time he fasted with all of his family members for 48 days. By the end of this 48 days, they were all practically on the verge of death. Then somebody brought some prasad for them, made with milk and ghee. And after offering his prayers, he was about to take that prasad with his family. Just when they were about to eat, a Brahmin appeared as a guest at his home and said, "Oh, my dear king, I am very hungry. Can you give me some alms to eat?" So, Maharaj Rantidev, he so kindly divided up whatever prasad was there and gave a good portion to the Brahmin. The Brahmin ate to his full satisfaction. It is said that Rantidev saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of that Brahmin. And because he was such a great devotee of the Lord, he wanted to selflessly serve the Lord in any way the Lord came. Now, Srila Prabhupada explained that Rantidev was a great devotee. He was not an impersonalist, thinking that this Brahman is Krishna. The idea that has somehow or other come about due to misconceptions is that if you want to give in charity to someone, whatever you give to that person, you're actually giving to God, because that person is God. Daridra Narayan. That Narayan has come to me in the form of this poor man. But the scriptures and the great acharyas explain that Narayan is never poor, Daridra Narayan. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune. He is never poor. He is supremely wealthy. He's the proprietor of everything that exists. He's within the heart of the rich, the poor, even the lower species, all living entities. So to see every living being in their relationship with Narayan, as the eternal servants of Narayan, and see the presence of Narayan within the heart, sitting beside the soul, giving direction to all living beings. This is proper understanding. So in his desire to please and serve the Lord, he understood how the Lord is pleased by compassion. So he gave the Brahmin a good portion of his food. After the Brahmin was satisfied and left, King Grantidev divided the food amongst his relatives. His relatives ate, but just as he was about to eat his share, a Sudra came as a guest and said, "Oh, King, I am very hungry. Although I am a low-born Sudra, please give me some food." Maharaj Grantidev saw all living beings with equal vision. Yajavanaya sampane brahmani gavihastini suni chayva supakesha pandita samadarshana. One who is actually seeing the truth understands how the Supreme Lord is situated in the heart of all living beings. Every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, whether one is a Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or a dog eater, a true devotee is the humbled servant of all living beings and sees everyone as a well-wisher. Maharaj Grantidev gave a portion of his food to the Shudra. He was about to eat. At that moment, a guest came with many dogs. This said, "Oh, King, myself and all my dogs are very hungry. Please give us some food." Maharaj Grantidev gave all the remaining food he had and distributed it to the dogs as well as the keeper of the dogs. Then he offered his obeisances to all the dogs and their keeper. This is the king of the world. Seeing the Lord in the heart of the little and the living entity part of Krishna in the heart of dogs, he's offering obeisances. All that was left was enough water for one person. Grantidev was on the verge of death. He went to drink that little bit of water to save his life. But at that time, a chandala came to his home as a guest and said, "Oh, King, although I am a low-born chandala, I am very thirsty. Please give me some water." Maharaj Grantidev, hearing the pitiable words of the chandala, who was in great distress due to thirst, his heart melted with compassion. And then he spoke the following nectarine words: "I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 mystic perfections, nor do I pray to him to achieve liberation from the sufferings of birth and death. I want only to stay among the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they may be freed from all sufferings. By offering my water to this chandala to maintain his poor life, I will become completely free from hunger, thirst, moroseness, lamentation, and illusion." With these words, he offered his obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he gave the water to the chandala. Chandala drank the water, and Grantidev had nothing, nor would he ask anyone for anything. Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the quality of a selfless Vaishnava. Paraduka duki. A Vaishnava is not concerned for his own happiness or distress. his own pleasure or pain. A Vaishnava is concerned with others. And when he sees others suffering, he's willing to sacrifice his own life to relieve their suffering. Srila Prabhupada gives the most illustrious example of Srila Vasudev Dutt, who prayed to the Supreme Lord, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that I have one desire only in my life that I wish that you fulfill. That let all living beings in this entire universe be free from all the sufferings and miseries of birth and death, and let them return to your spiritual abode. And if they have no qualifications to go because of their sinful karma, then please, my Lord, offer me this benediction, that all the karma of the sinful acts of all living entities within the entire universe, let me suffer the reactions of all their karma, and let them become happy in your divine association in your abode. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the words of Vasudev Das, he began to weep profusely in love for this devotee. How pleased he was by this compassion. We must understand what is real compassion, what is real welfare and charity. Not just to give some food and water, but to give food and water for the soul. And that comes through transcendental knowledge. Through somehow inducing people to take to the process of hearing about Krishna, living a life of devotion on the path of bhakti, and chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is real charity, welfare of the soul. Actually, that was Ranti Dev's motivation. He was so compassionate, willing to sacrifice his life for the welfare of even the most insignificant dog and chandala. At that time, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other demigods appeared to Ranti Dev and revealed to him the truth that they personally appeared to him as the Brahman, the Shudra, the dogs and their master, and the Chandala, just because they wanted to test what kind of real Vaishnava he was. They wanted to make his name glorified in the world as such a compassionate servant of the Lord. This is important. The Lord puts his devotees in these difficult situations just to glorify him to the world. In the life of our own beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Krishna personally did the same for him. Actually, Krishna could have given him a free Air India ticket to New York City. Within the hearts of his god brothers, he could have caused them to send so much help, mridangas, karatals, money, could have had his god brothers induced to build a beautiful temple in New York City. Why Krishna didn't do that? Why Krishna sent him on Jaladuta? Why he had to beg just a few minutes away at Sumati Murarji Mataji's home? Why he had to sit on the stairs of her office like a beggar saying, I will not leave until you give me ticket on a cargo ship? And why, while traveling across the Atlantic Ocean, Krishna could have made the ocean so peaceful and nice? Why so many storms and seasickness and heart attacks? Then he went to some people's house in Butler, Pennsylvania, who weren't the slightest bit interested in Krishna consciousness. But he was comfortable. But he left those comfortable situations to live in the Bowery in New York City. No one helping him, struggling alone. Krishna could have given him people offering donations. He could have gone to America with 1 crore of rupees. But he only had 40 rupees, $7. which isn't enough to do anything in a place like America. He was literally had nothing. And he struggled for practically 1 year, no one helping, having to move from one place to another, danger to his life. Sitting in a park, he didn't even have a mridanga, he had one of these little bongo drums, just beating on it and chanting Hare Krishna. And the only people he had to associate with were people who were eating meat, taking intoxication, addicted to illicit sex, gambling their whole lives away. And he started the movement from that. So much difficulty, more than Ranti Dev. But because he passed those tests, Krishna actually let him go through all those things to glorify his compassion, to glorify his sacrifice for the whole world, for all times, to appreciate and take shelter of. The wonderful Leela of Srila Prabhupada's intense struggling was all staged by Krishna just to glorify his incredible amount of compassion and sacrifice for the world. So the demigods wanted Ranti Dev's glories to be known. So they put him through this just to show what kind of compassion he had. It is explained by Shukadev Goswami that Maharaj Ranti Dev was such a devotee that all of his family members, all of his ministers, all of his associates, practically everyone in the entire kingdom was a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead just by associating with him, just by seeing his example. One may think, he was crazy. Why didn't he just buy some food and eat it or order it? Why he was starving on the verge of death, ready to die because there was no food. He wouldn't even ask anyone. He would just give it away. However, that example endeared him so deeply to the heart of the citizens that they all became pure devotees of Krishna. They perfected their lives due to his exemplary association. It is described that Ranti Dev was such a great devotee that Maya could not even stand before him. She had no power to come near him. Just like darkness has no power to come before the shining light. He was a pure devotee of the Lord, and by his personal example, he preached so loudly that he made all kingdom pure devotees of the Lord. So today we're reading about Maharaj Dushmanta giving birth to Bharat through Shakuntala. But we should also know how these wonderful stories are leading from one sequence to the next, and each story culminates from one phase after another in illustrating the supreme glory of pure unalloyed devotional service and the devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Would you like to speak something, Giriraj Maharaj?
Just everything away from me. And in the end, Krishna tested me by giving me everything.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Actually, Prabhupada, out of his humility, he used the word test, but actually Krishna glorified him. Krishna glorified him by showing the world here at Juhu how much he had to struggle. Why did Krishna do that? What kind of total compassion, how he was willing to sacrifice everything to give people Krishna conscious. But then when Krishna gave him everything, Krishna wanted to glorify him to see he's the same. Whether he has everything or nothing, he's the same. He simply, if he has nothing, hardly, whatever little he has, his life breath, if there's nothing else he has to possess but his life breath, he's willing to give 100% of it out of compassion to others by giving them Krishna. And if he has so many crores and crores of rupees and projects, he'll use every paisa, whatever fame he has, only for that same purpose, to show compassion to the fallen souls by giving them Krishna. To remain so humble, even when you have so much, is a great opulence. But Krishna, his supremely humble nature, as he said, Krishna tested me. But actually, Krishna simply wanted to glorify him and establish for all the world's history what the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching, the qualities of a pure devotee of the Lord. Thank you very much, Kiviraj Maharaj. Would you like to speak something, Chandramali Maharaj? Hari Sori Prabhu, could you kindly please speak something for our enlightenment? Very well. Narayana Maharaj, Devakinanand Prabhu, is there any questions? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Dharas ki, Hari ji ki, Go Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.